Water is absolutely beautiful. It's simply one of the most beautiful things on our planet. And this video helped me show you how breathtaking and mesmerizing water is in nearly all of its forms. It's very hard to describe water unless you are a brilliant poet, which didn't come up for me this week, it turns out. This month, we are starting to experiment with worship themes. You might have read about this in your newsletter or noticed that you received a PDF file for the Touchstone Journal with your newsletter on this month's theme, which is beauty. Each month, our services will, or mostly will, explore the monthly theme from different perspectives. You will also receive the journal if you choose to join the chalice circles that are beginning in October. Circle sharing will often focus on the theme. The purpose of this experiment is to see how themes may deepen our understanding of broad theological, spiritual, and ethical questions or issues. So all summer, I thought that beauty of water was the perfect theme for water communion. As I swam in northern Idaho's Priest Lake, at the Wilson High School pool, in the Willamette River, as I waded in small streams and walked the Pacific shore and drove along the Columbia River to Spokane, I became more and more committed to musing over the beauty of water and how to water simple beauty affects us in our spirit and souls. And then Hurricane Harvey hit. Suddenly I remembered that water isn't only beautiful and nourishing. It doesn't simply sparkle on a clear afternoon in northern Idaho lakes or just glide gently down the Willamette River. It doesn't just quench our thirst and nourish our plants. Water isn't just beauty and creation. Water is ugly and destruction too. Now, Hurricane Irma has swept up through the Caribbean, and it hit the Florida Keys this morning. It surges feet of seawater onto land, covering everything. It brings torrential rains that will swell rivers, streams, lakes, flooding even more places. Water, as an ugly brown liquid, already covers cars and buildings all around the Gulf. Water permeates, soaking into things, swelling them, inviting mold in and ruining them. It is really no wonder that one of the longest continuously told stories in Western culture is Noah's Ark. God, in a fury at wicked people, commanded it to rain 40 days and 40 nights and destroy the world. In a moment of mercy, God allowed Noah to save two of each kind of animal who would recreate the world when the floodwaters receded. I think I know now why we've told that story for thousands of years. When the rain comes down in streams, not in drops, and when the sea rises up, they destroy, and it is terrifying. Here in Portland, though, we don't live in the danger of hurricanes. Our natural disaster is fire. Our beloved, beautiful Columbia Gorge is burning, and many of us are grieving. 1.5 million acres are burning across the Pacific Northwest, and what we want is water. We want lots of it falling from the sky, maybe not 26 inches in 24 hours, but a few inches over several days in every western state would be life-saving. And this is the truth. Water is beautiful, but it also kills. It also brings life. When water has risen, when wind beats the earth and fires burn out of control, people ask why. Why? Why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? The story of Noah's Ark provides an answer for the devastating, destroying floods of that age. They happened because God was punishing people for their wicked ways. Oddly enough, many of us answer that question the same way today. This destruction has happened because people have been wicked. We have warmed up the sea and unleashed powerful storms. We have warmed up the earth, drying out forests, keeping temperatures high, and the rain scarce. Our solutions, strangely, are not so different from those of Noah's Ark. The wealthy, who believe they are truly the favored ones, are building their own arks. They can now purchase private services that evacuate them from dangerous weather in hurricanes, in limousines or helicopters, and whisk them to safe, luxurious locations. The wealthy build homes protected from rising water and wind and heat. So many of the rest of us pray or hope or make offerings of our voice or time or sustainable purchases in hopes that all the people will become good and we will stop the practices of capitalistic, consumeristic, fossil fuel economy that has so transformed our weather and our land. When all the people become good, well, the story sort of fades out there. What does happen when we all become good? No one really says anymore, since the change we feared is happening now. So many voices cried out. Changes were made. Still, many did not heed the voices, and the changes that most needed to happen did not. And that sounds like a biblical tale as well. The story where we finally get it together and live with harmony with the earth sort of stops without finishing these days. Surely we might do it, that still. We might learn to live better relationship with the earth, but already the demons that we feared are here. The story of Noah's Ark has played itself out to its end. I am thinking that maybe we would be better off to begin to tell the story of water communion. What is the story of water communion but the story of water coming together in a way that is beautiful and sustaining? What is the story of water communion but a story of life-giving power? Water comes together in rivers that move swiftly. Water comes together in oceans that rhythmically transform their shores. Water comes together in air until it bursts forth in rain. Water also comes together as we, our bodies, 60% water, our veins flowing with seawater, come together. We hold water communion at the beginning of each church year to celebrate our gathering together. We celebrate the coming together of what matters to us, our state of being, places we care about, and the contents of our hearts and our spirits. At Water Communion, we celebrate the power and importance of community. Together we inspire, comfort, and heal. We remind each other to be joyful and grateful. We remember to honor the worth and dignity of every single person and to care for this beautiful blue-green earth. We are all water, and we can rise as powerfully as any storm. Can we stop climate change, reverse it, make it just a little less worse? I do not really know. Can we comfort and heal and bring to safety those in the way of monster storms and drought and skyrocketing temperatures and fires? Perhaps. What I do know is that in this story, we gather together. We breathe away our fear. We open our hearts and flow towards any possible future built on kindness, creativity, and love. Let us rise for a future built on the same compassion that compelled people in Texas to take their boats and jet skis and inflatable inner tubes and rescue strangers from flood, and open their homes and businesses to those who in need in Texas, in the West, in Florida, and all points north, and hand out coffee and water to people in lines waiting in their cars for gas as they fled Hurricane Irma in Florida, and rally and give support for DACA recipients, and search for strangers in storm debris. Let us rise up for a world where we all love our neighbor as ourself. We have gathered, and like water overflowing its shores, we don't know exactly where we are going. But together, listening deeply, steering by our values and our compassion, we can flow around each other, through each other, and into the world, bringing love and peace. It is such an incredible blessing to be together this morning.